Hey Health Junkies, Dr. Krause here. Just wanted to jump in and let you know about a new feature that I'm adding to the podcast. It's the ability to ask me questions. I've had a ton of folks tell me that they would love for me to cover their questions on the podcast, so I'm going to do it. So each week I will be adding a couple of questions that I'm going to answer to each of the podcasts. And if it's a juicy enough question, I just may dedicate a whole podcast to it. So if you're interested in asking a question, head on over to my website at drjkrausend.com. Check out a blue button on the right-hand side that says Ask a Podcast Question. Hit me up there. Or you can also access the button through my podcast notes also on my website. So head on over there, ask me some questions. I look forward to answering them soon. All right, let's get on with the podcast.
Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, and today we're going to be talking about a subject that's near and dear to my heart called the hot mess. Now, of course, I fully admit that I've been a hot mess once or twice in my life. My husband would probably say every day. But let's put it this way. Anxious, depressed, pissed off. Any of those sound familiar to you? Irritable? Constant irritability? Cycling irritability? Well, for some of us, we have these things that cycle. And for a lot of ladies, it might be correlation with their period. But for some folks, it's like this weird cycle of a couple of months they're like this, and then they seem to lift and be better, and then they kind of fall back into it. And I think a lot of people are being over-medicated with psych meds and things of that nature when it might not be that. It might be your way you deal with stress. It might also be the way that your hormones are balanced. And you might actually be your own worst enemy in this case. My main goal for a lot of my patients is to keep them off medications and find solutions that are natural and possibly ones that are free. They're routine-based versus trying to go herbal routes. And today I'm going to talk about how and why we might cycle in and out of control and how to get off that crazy train and really why you might be your own worst enemy in this case. So let's talk about my last week in my office, for example. It is the full moon currently. Well, it's coming off of it now, but it was last week in terms of the full moon. And we all hear these stories about how the ER is busier. Crazy things happen on the full moon. And I actually think that that is true, even though there is no reliable evidence in any of the research articles that I read to prove that we get crazy with the whole moon or the full moon. Now, there's another astrological component, this Mercury in retrograde, which a lot of people swear that Mercury in retrograde is where they cycle with being in and out of control. And this happens actually quite often, 3 times a year for about 3.5 weeks. So that's like a quarter of your year. And so this might be description for why you're going on the crazy train, but there's no research. I looked, couldn't find anything on Mercury in retrograde. Now, there might be some of you out there that are like, what the hell is Mercury in retrograde? Trust me, I had to ask one of my very dear friends what it was because she said something like that to me, probably about a year ago. And I was like, I have no idea what Mercury in retrograde is. I'm barely even sure what my astrological sign is most days since I'm considered on the cusp. But let's go into Mercury retrograde. It's this phenomenon in which Mercury is going to be in retrograde to the moon. I don't know. You can Google it. But I know what happens emotionally. Supposedly, no one understands you. Everything annoys you. And due to those communication mishaps, you get weird and wonky. And really, you have emotions that you can't control. During Mercury in retrograde, you're not supposed to sign contracts, things of that nature. that's all fine and good, but I mean, when it's quarter of the year, we got to figure out how to deal with this kind of stuff. We can't let these astrological movements change us. And, you know, every time the full moon comes out, you can't be howling at it. We got to change this. And so really it's finding your way to thrive and find balance in this universe. And so today I'm going to kind of talk a little bit about the different ways we work with this. And you know, obviously we can't change where the moon's at, and we can't change where Mercury's at for that matter. And so, of course, we have to adapt. And what today is going to be broken down into is talking about adaptability. Darwin was a genius. I mean, adaption. Those who adapt survive. Survival of the fittest. And so what is your gland, or what is your body part that helps you to adapt? Well, it's your adrenal glands. They're your fight or flight glands. And a lot of us are stressed out and we're causing our own problems that make us hot messes. And so this is where I want to focus today in terms of kind of looking into yourself and a little self-reflection in terms of where you can make things better for yourself. So keeping that in mind, let's go into a little history for a little bit here because it's kind of fun. So I read an article from the Scientific American a while back, and I have quoted it at the end of my research notes or my podcast notes. So if you want to head over to my website at drjkrausnd.com, you can go look at those notes and take a little research break and look at the Scientific American article. But we had a Roman goddess that bore the name, named Luna, and Luna is the prefix of the word lunatic. Now, guys, before you start to say that all ladies are crazy, guys get crazy too with the full moons, just saying. So Greek philosopher Aristotle and Roman historian Pliny the Elder, those guys suggested that the brain was the moistest organ in the body. And therefore, it was the most susceptible to the influences of the moon based on the tide. And so the idea being that your brain moves and it can move and it can respond to the tide. Well, let's put this into a thought. Think about your fluid in your body and think about your cerebral spinal fluid. You have fluid that's all around your brain. You have fluid in your spinal cord. If you're dehydrated, this brain of yours can't move very well. You might get a headache even. Could that be part of this lunacy or lunatic concept? Not just the tides. Or could the dehydrated brain be more susceptible to tide movements and pulls of the moon? I don't know. Deep thoughts to think about in this case. But one thing I find consistent among a lot of folks who are go, 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 do, 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 hot messes, they're dehydrated. They're not drinking fluids like they should. And so, number one thing to do to not sabotage your own self is make sure that you are drinking enough water. Ideally, it's half your body weight in ounces. So something to keep in mind here, because if we're going back to the days of Aristotle, these guys didn't have fancy schmancy tests and things of that nature, but they had a lot of intuition. And a lot of us have poo-pooed the idea of intuition and poo-pooed the idea of what we inherently know what we might need to do, but also being in sync with nature. Now, yes, I'm a naturopath. Yes, I'm a little bit woo-woo. Yes, I'm a little bit earthy, if you want to, or crunchy or granola, if you want to think of it that way. But if our brain does respond to pressure changes, which we do know it does, and especially in the case of anyone who's had a traumatic brain injury, if you've had a traumatic brain injury, you are very susceptible to fluid balance. And where the pressures are in your body related to barometric pressure. We do sense weather changes. We just don't know it. Could this be a contributor to the lunacy effect? The lunar lunacy effect as it was coined, or the Transylvania effect as it was coined in Europe in the Middle Ages, which is kind of a fun little tidbit that I also pulled from that Scientific American article. And basically, this lunar lunacy effect is what's reportedly turned folks into werewolves and vampires during the full moon. So translate the idea of a werewolf and a vampire. And I guess you could say, in terms of a modern day vampire, and minus the biting people's necks and sucking blood, think about it in terms of being agitated at night. Think about it as being up all night. Think about it as having some severe insomnia. Werewolves, on the other hand, I like to think of werewolves as being more just agitated at night, wanting to fight at night. And if we go back to the basis of that, that's that fight or flight response being off. In previous podcasts, I've talked a lot about cortisol being our fight or flight hormone, but also being our sleep and wake cycle regulating hormone. Cortisol for most of us is being released in weird cycles versus high in the morning and low at night to wake us up and put us to bed. For a lot of people, we pulse it and it goes up and down throughout the day based on how stressed out we are. If you are not sleeping at night, you might have cortisol going up at night. And this could be that fight or flight response coming out in you, turning you into a werewolf, figuratively. So something to think about here in terms of, were these ancient Greek philosophers, and even into the Roman goddess days and all of that stuff, were these folks really kind of right on? Maybe we've turned it into humor and urban legends and myths and et cetera, but perhaps is there another pattern here that the researchers are not looking at? And that being our fight or flight response. Another big thing that your adrenal glands control is your electrolyte balance. So sodium, potassium, chloride, that is controlled by your adrenal glands. Our fluid balance, so sodium, in particular, water moves with sodium. Anywhere sodium goes, water goes. And so if we are not hydrated properly, right, we might have more problems around the full moon. And if we're not getting enough of our electrolytes in, so we're not eating properly or at regular intervals, we might be more affected by the full moon. I don't know. So something to think about. I think it's kind of interesting. Now, I have to argue the case in which there's been so much research out there, like seizures related to full moon, aneurysms, ER visits, even labor increasing the full moon. But there's still not enough correlation. And I don't understand why. I mean, women tend to have their period cycles with either the full moon or the new moon. And that's hormonal flux. So now I'm adding in another level of complexity here. Do your hormones flux with moon cycles? A lot of us traditional naturopaths and herbalists would say yes, of course, because like I just said, new moon or full moon with the period. Do guys flux hormones monthly? Yeah, testosterone does flux. It's not a steady pulse. And you can argue me on it, but men will have fluxes in their testosterone making ability based on nutrition, based on sleep deprivation, based on where they are with age. And there is a thing called man periods or male PMS or male irritability syndrome, and it's actually documented out there. And it's lowering of testosterone cyclically in a month. So kind of interesting there. Now, what I also find in my practice is that I've got a lot of ladies who are extremely estrogen dominant. So lots of estrogen floating around in their body. And where does this come from? Well, they might be eating too many sources of meat that are not clean. They're not grass-fed. They're eating junk and eating animals that have been injected with hormones. Now, the other thing here could be that you're getting too much plastic estrogens, known as xenoestrogens. You're microwaving plastic. You're eating things that have been heated up with plastic. Using kitchen utensils, things of that nature that are contributing to the estrogen dominance. Also, a lot of folks don't think about this, but their Starbucks cups, their to-go cups, I mean, that's plastic on the top of there, and you're drinking a hot drink through there. You're getting xenoestrogens in there. It's kind of crazy how high I see with folks with a lot of estrogen buildup. Same thing with soy, same thing with too much flax, too much chia. Too much pumpkin seeds. Those all have estrogen in them, plant estrogen, but soy is probably the worst one. And those of you who are vegan, who are relying on vegan convenience foods for protein, such as like the vegan burgers and vegan chicken nuggets, you got a lot of soy in that stuff, and you could be messing with your crazy train on that. And depending on where you are in a given time frame and how much you've been eating of those sorts of things in a given time frame, you might cycle on and off the crazy train. Now, the other big thing is progesterone. A lot of ladies are low in progesterone because cortisol is made from the same precursors. And so if the body's in fight or flight stress mode, it's going to steal the precursors to progesterone to make cortisol. And what do we get with low progesterone? That's the crazy train. This is often where the women who are going through menopause say they feel like they're going crazy. They're irritable. They're pissed off. They're mad about everything in the universe. They can't sleep. This is progesterone. And so if you're cycling through having this craziness happen throughout the month or a couple weeks out of the year cycling like this, it could be that you have some issues with hormonal balance causing these. I mean, let's put it this way. Most of us are in a constant fight or flight state, either from our work, either from our job, either from the life that we live, or we are eating too much sugar, junk food. Processed carbs and sugar, when you're already sitting around with high cortisol levels, cortisol puts your blood sugar up already because it's preparing your body to run away from a bear. Now you eat sugar, you eat processed carbs, guess what happens? Your cortisol goes up double or triple. And you go high on being on a high for a minute, and then you're going to crash. And when you go down and you crash low, it makes you crazy. And this could be also a problem. And depending on where you are in terms of your diet, some of us flux throughout the month in terms of how we are eating. And this could be also the reason for that. Now, if we think about it and we go back to it, your adrenal glands are in control of your hormones. They're in control of your electrolytes. They're in control of your water balance in the body. They're in control of your blood sugar. All of the things that can make you crazy kind of relate back to the adrenal glands. So something to think about there. Now, of course, one of the biggies with this adrenal gland issue is adaptation and being able to adapt to your environment, to be able to deal with things like the full moon, to be able to deal with things like Mercury in retrograde. I have no idea what Mercury in retrograde does to your brain. I can get behind the tidal waves effect on the brain for the moon. I could totally get with that because if you're already dehydrated because you're in fight or flight mode, or you're overhydrated, that is a case in which some people drink way too much fluids, that could definitely be an issue. Unfortunately, it's more that we're dehydrated because too many people are hopped up on coffee and coffee dehydrates you and you don't account for the coffee that you drink and how much it dehydrates you. So something to think about there. Now, the other biggie, which I talk about a lot in my podcast, and I think it is a very important thing, and of course that's why this whole hot mess thing is near and dear to my heart, is because I see so many people suffering with it. And I too have had my fair share of issues dealing with stress. And I think the problem that a lot of us have is we're just so disconnected from our bodies that our internal radar can't even tell us what's good and what's bad. Like our brain might be able to be like, oh, I'm a bad person or I'm a good person, but it can't tell us if things are good or bad for us. I mean, I can tell you a situation in which I felt sick the whole day when I was going to sign some important papers for a partnership in a business. And I should have used that as this is a bad sign. And you know, this whole, oh, signs, woo woo, whatever, our belly is our first brain. Our brain is our second brain. You have to listen to your belly, but I think a lot of it's listening to your body to be able to gauge, okay, what's happening on this level? Just doing like little sit downs and check-ins. So let's talk about these main areas where we suck at stress management as humans. Number one, schedule. We schedule the crap out of ourselves. I had a patient this week who told me that she's scheduling herself to the minute and actually like has a timer and reminder on her phone that tells her when she needs to be at her next place. So she's already going into multiple appointments going, okay, I got to be out of here by like 3:15. And if I'm not out of here by 3:15, I'm going to be late for my 3:20 appointment at the next stop. holy crap, no wonder you're in fight or flight mode. You've created this like insurmountable stress to try to deal and stay on schedule. So this is something that's huge for a lot of us, and we're going to go into that today. Relationships, including the one with yourself. If you suck at your relationship with yourself, if you have some serious, deep, like self-hate issues, or you're just not nice to yourself, you say mean things to yourself, this is stress. And this can contribute to imbalances in the body. Not to mention personal relationships with, you know, your boss, your partners, your kids, etc., parents. That's a whole nother stressor. Work choices. I don't know how many people that I encounter in my practice that hate their jobs and they're just working to make a paycheck, or they stay in a job because the pay is good, but they're not feeling fulfilled. They're not feeding their soul. They're not aligning with their purpose. This is huge. And especially for my go, 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 do, do, do folks. The go-getters in life need to be fulfilled. They need to have a purpose, and they need to be able to feel comfortable with what they're doing. And I feel like a lot of the go, 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 do, do, doers push it to the limits because they're trying to make up for something that they can't get. They can't get that feel. They can't grasp it in the job that they have. And so they overperform to try to get themselves to feel good. But the honest to goodness truth is we really do need to think about jobs that feed our soul and align with our purpose. Organizing. Another big place where we suck as humans in organizing our lives, organizing our schedules, organizing our homes and our workspaces. The more disorganized the space is, the more you can't work and you can't think in that environment. So it's hard to adapt to that environment. The next thing is learning from mistakes and adjusting accordingly. For some reason, a lot of us keep doing the same things over and over again in terms of mistakes and expect different outcomes. I believe someone said that that was an Einstein quote of insanity. If you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. Irregardless of whoever coined that phrase, it is true. Why do we keep doing the same things over and over again and expect different results? Hello. I mean, I've been in this, I'm not even gonna lie, more than I care to admit. But at this point, I'm starting to figure out ways to get around it. And of course, that's why I wanted to do this podcast, to help share with you what to do about these things. All right. So the next part of this podcast, I'm going to be going into areas where we suck at stress management as humans and details in terms of what we can do. And if you're looking for some notes, and of course, maybe you're driving, maybe you're walking, doing something else while you're listening to this podcast, fear not. I am going to have some great notes and pointers at the end of my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com. So head on over to those guys and check them out so that you do not have to try to remember every little thing I say in this podcast. Okay, let's get on with it. Okay, so as humans, we kind of cringe at making a schedule and sticking to schedules and routines, but really, these schedules and routines really do help us. And for my folks out there who are rebels, I always say this, rebelling against schedule and routine, I gotta be honest with you, you're not doing yourself any favor. So going into schedule, what can you control in your schedule? What can you say no to? I think a lot of us really suck at saying no. I myself have had to learn the art of saying no. Now, you don't have to be rude, because I always thought, oh, if I said no, it's rude. It's not rude. It's self-preservation. This is part of adapting. This is part of being able to survive. Remember, Darwin said survival of the fittest. Well, that means a lot of different things, but in this case, for a lot of us that are stressed out, we have to learn to say no. And this has probably been the hardest thing for me, and I think it's a hard thing for a lot of people in particular, and especially ladies who are taking care of kiddos, who need to take kids to certain events, want to give their kids the best life that they could possibly have. Unfortunately, sometimes trying to juggle all that and being super mom wears you out. So what you need to be thinking about is what's priority to you and only you. I'm not talking about priority to your kids. I'm not talking about priority to your partners. I'm not talking about priority to your boss. I'm talking about you. Self-preservation here. One of the hardest lessons that I've also had to learn, in addition to saying no, is learning to slow down. My mind goes a mile a minute, and that's me. And that's a lot of people who push themselves to the limit and go, 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 do, do, do. But part of all of that thinking and ruminating and whatnot, it wears you out. And it's really what makes you crazy and the hot mess that you may be or might feel like in cyclical types of patterns. And one of the cyclical patterns that I have people look at is busy times of year with maybe your kids, with maybe life, with maybe schedule for that matter. At my job, I'm very busy from the middle of the year to the end of the year. And in particular, it kind of ramps up right at the end of the summer, because a lot of times in the summer, folks are doing things, they're outside, they're out in the sun, they're having fun, they're making that their priority, which is awesome. I'm all for it. But once school season hits in again, it seems that as soon as we're 2 weeks into the school season, so I probably should say mid-September, from mid-September to New Year's Eve, I'm swamped. And it's part of my job. I know that it happens every year. And it's something to really think about. And for me, that I have to make my schedule and think about what's priority to me and only me. And also considering something called the body check-in before commitment. And what that means is really seeing how a decision makes you feel. Does it make you feel good or does it make you hate life? So let me give you an example. For me, I'm often asked to add on a patient or squeeze someone in if someone has something going on. And my schedule's tight. I am booked out almost a month ahead right now, but there are people who have priorities and need to come in. And I need to get them in because my job is to help get people better. But I also have to think, I have to feel, and I have to go from there and decide the logistics of adding in someone, because sometimes it might make me hate life. It might make me really frustrated. And then I'm crabby and I'll never show that to a patient. But for me, it blocks my ability to be able to help at the level that these people need. And so translate that into your life in terms of ask to add on something or do something or go somewhere or participate in something that you really don't have time for. I think a lot of us add on commitments because we don't want to hurt someone's feelings. And the only person you're doing is hurting, the only person you hurt in this case is yourself. I will eventually be able to get these patients in at some point. It's just working through the logistics at the moment. And this is self-preservation. If I am burnt out by the end of one day so much that I struggle the next day, it's not fair to those patients the next day. And so this is life, right? We have to figure out what is priority to you and only you and how you feel about these sorts of things. And when I say feel, I mean feel it to the core. This is a struggle that a lot of us also don't realize that we have. It's that we're not connected with our bodies. I can slow down, and if I slow down enough, I can feel how I feel about things, and I mean feel it inside, not just on a superficial level. A lot of us have aches and pains that come cyclically. A lot of us have emotions that come cyclically, and they might go along with adding too much onto your schedule. So think about that in terms of if you end up with cyclical hot mess syndrome, this could be you. Now, another problem that I see with a lot of folks is shortening their lunch times, their break times, or not taking breaks during the day. If you look at that, I always make the joke of folks who are smokers always get breaks. And they get to breathe too because they take big old breaths when they're working on smoking, right? But as folks that don't smoke, we seem to work through that time frame and then like go, oh, those smokers are always out there taking their breaks, blah, blah, blah. And we're kind of, you know, hating on them. But honestly, they're kind of the smart ones, minus the smoking. They are actually stopping to smell the roses. They're breathing and they're taking their breaks. And a lot of us don't do that. I have taken a long time to learn that doing nothing is amazing. It's kind of like the art of doing nothing. And my husband is really good at it and has encouraged me over time. And if you feel bad, you're like, oh my gosh, I should be being productive right now. You are being productive when you get to just chill and not do anything. Just let your brain wander. Just kind of take a little mini break. And you can schedule those things in too. So there's that. Now, I have also talked a lot about scheduling in terms of calendar and looking at your calendars and looking out ahead in terms of how tightly have you scheduled yourself? What have you scheduled for yourself to do? Well, for a lot of people, maybe you're not the go, 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 do, do, do type, but yet you don't have a schedule and that stresses you out. Well, I highly recommend looking at your month, spending like one day a week, maybe on a Saturday in the morning, just spending time organizing what you're going to do for the month and when you're going to do certain things. I think a lot of us procrastinate and don't do things till the last minute, and that causes a lot more hot mess stress. I mean, it's tax season coming up here within the month when I'm doing this podcast, and that also tends to cause some craziness with patience and frustration. And so I probably beat this topic enough at this point, but the idea here is looking at your hobbies and commitments. Do you have too many of them? Who are you pleasing with your hobbies and commitments? Why are you trying to go to certain events? What's in it for you? Is it worth it to sacrifice other things like rest for a full social calendar? These are hard questions because a lot of us feel like we have to show up at every event. We have to be there. We have to do, do, do. But the reality of it is that most of us aren't in tune with how we feel about certain events, how it takes an impact on our life, and we become more and more bitter and frustrated. And so that's something that I would like you to think about with this podcast, looking at your social calendar and what really means, what the events that you're signed up for really mean to you. And are they serving you well? So that's it on scheduling. Now let's talk about relationships. This is a huge area. And the way I look at it is in terms of vampires. Now, this sounds crazy because I've already talked about werewolves and vampires, and I've referred to us in our hot mess states as vampires or werewolves. But there's also folks who are in the same state as you that are just as much of a hot mess as you are. And I like to refer to them as vampires and refer to it as how many vampires have you collected? And by that, I mean people that suck you dry. They ask you for help, do not give you anything in return. They're constantly asking for something. Now, some moms go, oh, that's my children. Well, okay, children need you to a point. However, what things can you delegate? I once was told that the most successful CEOs are those who delegate well. So delegating your duties well. Now, yes, that goes back maybe to a little bit of scheduling, but it also goes back to relationships. Let's put it this way. You might think that you're helping someone. You're being a good person. Because a lot of us have in the head, it's I'm a good person, I'm a bad person. And if I don't do this for that person, I'm bad. Well, not necessarily. Because if you keep giving too much of yourself, you're going to become sucked dry. And by that, I mean extremely fatigued, worn out. And at the end of the day, what does that get you? So problems in relationships occur when there isn't equal give, take, and respect for that matter. So when you have a vampire in your life, they take till there's nothing more, and then they manipulate you to the point that it makes you crazy. And then with the manipulation, you know it, you can feel it, you sense it, it makes you angry, but you keep going back for more. Why? That's one of the things that I want you to think about in terms of your life. Who do you have in your life that's a vampire that takes but doesn't give back? A lot of us have them, and they're quite possibly the folks that make us crazy and cyclical in terms of when this person needs more and when they need less. And now I'm not trying to say that, you know, taking care of your elder parents, for example, is not something you should do. It's making sure that you're able to get some help with it. And maybe if you're an only child like me, you know, the way you do it is you delegate, you share time with family members to help you out with taking care of someone. If that doesn't seem to work, then maybe you hire someone to help you. Something to think about. But the idea here, I'm not going to solve all your problems in one podcast, I wish. But the idea here is to really get you to think about what's a vampire in your life and in terms of the relationship. Now, there's also the possibility that you could be your own vampire. And by that, I mean, are you beating yourself up? What about life? You know, are you not where you want to be in life? What about your weight? I think this is a super common one in terms of the females that I see in my practice. I think it goes something like this. I used to run when I was in my 20s, and now I can't run anymore because I'm tired, my joints hurt, I don't have time, and now I'm getting heavier. And I try to go back to running, but it hurts too bad. And now I just keep getting bigger. Sound familiar to anyone? I hear it a lot. And it's sad because running's one thing, but the running for you was your escape, right? We're still animals. We like to run because we can think through stuff and we can escape a little bit and it lowers our cortisol. There are other ways to exercise off this stress that we have. A really good friend of mine was talking about having a business where you teach folks how to manage their stress through exercise and how to manage traumas through exercise. I think it's a genius idea because I think a lot of us are misguided in what exercises we need to do. And we're also, in terms of females, and some guys too, but in terms of females, we are focused on weight loss. Everything has to do with, I want this type of body, I want to weigh this. And we're on this real unrealistic thought of what we need to be to love ourselves. And I think this is something that is huge. So, are you your own vampire? Are you sucking yourself dry for a specific reason? A lot of times it's really basic things that happen to you throughout your life, and you're allowing to happen to you by relationships, or you're allowing to happen yourself. For example, I'll call myself out in terms of some of the vampire things that I have on myself. I love to take care of people. I love to try to help people. I love people to feel good. And in my quest for that, I give a lot of myself. And a lot of times I don't get anything back. And part of the reason I wanted to do this podcast is because this week was a real rough one for me in my practice, because I have a lot of patients that I give a lot to. And when things don't work out well, like for example, I don't get the right treatment. Listen to me right now. I said, I don't get the right treatment. I didn't give them the right plan. Okay. So I'm blaming myself for why someone's not getting better. I do it a lot. And so I suck myself dry, trying over and over with relentless ideas of how to help people and brainstorming, when in reality, it might not be 100% me. And I have some patients that have not 100% been willing to accept that it's not 100% me. And that's hard. It's really hard when you're trying your best and really working with folks and it comes down to me beating myself up at the same time that the patient's looking at me and saying, it's not working. What else you got for me? So I often am my own vampire in that case. I often will say I've screwed things up. I just don't know, you know, I suck. What's wrong with me? I'm a terrible doctor. And when in reality, it's not that. It's just the circumstances of events and we haven't gotten to the bottom of things. So now, of course, I don't expect all of you to be doctors out there, but it's the same thing in terms of your life that, you know, what is it that you might be sucking yourself dry about? You know, for a lot of people, it's, I'm really terrible at relationships, or, oh, I just can't get my weight down. I can't seem to be active. I can't seem to be healthy. Okay, there's those things. There are ways to get around that. Also, there's folks that let people walk all over them. The too nice syndrome. I am very, very self-aware that I am like that too. And so these are the things that we need to look at here. You have to own your own crap and work on it. And this is a major source of the hot mess factor I see day in and day out. Owning your own crap. We all have traumas. We all have traumas that may be big deals to some and big deals to not big deals to others, but I don't care about that. It's what is a big deal to you. Doesn't matter on the scheme of tragic stories versus multiple little traumas in life. It doesn't mean that your fight isn't something you have to deal with. We all have to deal with something. The problem is we don't deal with our crap. And this is a big deal. Relationships 101 and relationships with yourself. So that little rant there, what do you do about that? How do you deal with that? It's really being able to take a big look inside and go, okay, why am I unhappy? Why am I irritable? What is it about my life that I am not happy about? And, you know, make a list. And it might be sad to put some of these things down there, but get real. Like, just put it out there. And from there, once you've got it on paper, now you've got a list of things that you can work with, you can reduce your stress by. Because a lot of times when I get to the nitty-gritty with patients and their stress, it's self-created. Probably not what a lot of people want to hear ever, but it's part of the picture here. And really, like I said before, how you deal with your own self has a lot to do with reflections and relationships and things of that matter as well. So writing it down, step one, and going through, okay, this is how I feel about myself. These are the little traumas or the big traumas that have added up over time. And this is what shaped me to be the type of person I am. Then once you've owned that and you've got it on paper, how are you going to fix it? And starting with the ones you can fix first and moving from there. And perhaps maybe you get some help with counseling. A skill-based counselor is what you want to look for. Someone who's going to give you skills, not just talk therapy. I don't think talk therapy works very often. Sometimes. But skill-based therapy, absolutely. Okay. So once you've determined who your vampires are, you got to look at your work choice. Because this is another source of hot mess syndrome. Are you challenged? Are you fulfilled? Are you living your purpose? Are you doing something that feeds your soul? And if you can't get a job in it, then make a hobby of it. You know, your life's work doesn't have to be how you get paid at first. It can be. Being a world with amazing things on the internet now, it seems that we can almost do anything. It's pretty awesome. And there's almost like a way to tweak certain things. So I highly recommend you look into your side gig or your side hustle and see how you can start to incorporate that into your life to make you happy. I mean, of nothing else. I think so many people throw themselves into a hot mess because they hate their work. They hate their work situation. And they feel like they have to just slog through it because there's nothing else to do. Or they hate their work environment. Well, shoot, you can change your work environment. You know, most people have a desk or some little space. You can put up little pictures that make you smile. You know, there's little things. Everyone can do little things. Even if you don't even have your own desk, maybe you have a locker. You could put stuff in your locker that makes you smile. I mean, there's ways to get around this. But the idea here is really thought-provoking is what I want here, is surround yourself with what makes you happy in little ways. Do little things for yourself that make you happy. So the next step here in terms of work choices would be to go, okay, what do I like to do? What are my hobbies? What makes me smile? What makes me just glow? Okay, and if you have that there in front of you, what is realistic about incorporating that into your everyday life? There's lots of things you can do. I actually had another conversation this morning with one of my great gals, pals, and we were talking about how to make my life or my house or my office, not my life. Well, yeah, that too. It totally goes into all of it. But my office, how to make my office my happy place. And she knows I love the beach, and she was talking about making a little sandbox for my feet where I can kick my shoes off and stick my feet in the sand during the day. Dude, that sounds like, oh, amazing. I want that. I want a little mini sandbox. So we're going to do it. I have shells already on my desk. I have shells pretty much all over my house, trying to be in touch with the beach day in, day out. But the point being here is, like, you could get shells if you like the beach and put it around. I've got a picture of the Cayman Islands just off to the left of me. I'm looking at that blue water and it's like, oh, yes. And I can imagine myself sticking my toes in the sand. So the point being here, like I said before, is what can you do? Little things to make yourself happy throughout the day. Just little tiny things. And it goes a long way. And if you can't find anything that makes you happy, then I think I'm going to have to do a new podcast on that. And so, challenge to you. If you can't find one little thing that makes you happy and makes you smile during the day to just make your day go a little bit better, make a comment. Send me an email. I want to hear about it, and I will come up with a whole podcast dedicated to figuring that out. All right, organization. This is a really big factor too. Because well-oiled machines keep you chill. This is home. This is work. This is life. You got to declutter. That's number one. You get too much crap lying around, it's going to stress you out. It's going to occupy your brain with areas of it just associating to all the different clutter. And it's not good. Organization is key. And routines, like I mentioned before, dialing in routines at home and systems. Systems for everything, a place for everything, so that you don't have to remember where you put your keys because they always go in the same place. You don't remember where you have to put your wallet when you come in the door because you always put it in the same place. Same thing with your shoes, et cetera, et cetera. This is organization. Same thing with remote controls. That seems to be the biggest issue at my house with TVs. Now we put them in the same place every time. Guess what? We don't lose them. So keeping that kind of thing in mind, especially with your kids, because I feel like if you have kids, they lose stuff. And if they have systems, then you're less stressed too. Little tidbit. Same thing at work. Systems. At my work, I am creating systems for everything. I almost have things dialed in. If there's a couple of things I haven't worked on, it's because it's part of the process. And that's a good point to keep in mind. Sometimes systems are ever evolving and you keep making them. So there you have it with organization. Now, making changes when there are mistakes. This is a big area where you feel that things don't go well and don't run well in your life. Change them. You have the ability to be able to change things. Like I mentioned before, earlier in the podcast, I believe the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So for example, for me, not overloading my schedule if it doesn't benefit me. If I have to skip lunch and I'm going to be hungry, there's no other time for the day for me to eat, I'm not going to be happy because what's going to happen is I'm going to be starving. And by 3 or 4 o'clock, I'm going to have to shove something in really fast. Otherwise, my brain's going to go. Patients are going to not be so thrilled with me because I'm not going to be able to think well. And then when I get home, I'm going to turn into a bear and eat all the food in the kitchen. That is what happens. So not overloading your schedule if it doesn't benefit you. Other thing, you know, for me, if I look at what I want in life, I love the summer. I love sunshine. I will adjust my hours to enjoy more sunshine and being out. So reduced hours in the summer, if you can do something like that, or switch the hours, work later into the evening, work, you know, go in late, or switch it so that you work earlier in the morning and you get done earlier in the afternoon. I don't know, longer vacations. Something like that. Taking 3-day weekends. If you don't have a ton of vacation time, take 3-day weekends throughout the summer. I mean, these are things to think about in terms of making changes when there are mistakes. Because when I say mistakes, a lot of us do get crabby, you know, when we can't go out and have fun. And that's a mistake. Making sure you have that time built in there. So looking at that, also looking at organization and system mistakes, looking at vampire mistakes. Maybe you made a friend with someone who really sucks you dry and asks you for a lot. If it doesn't feel good and it doesn't feel like you two are gelling, cut that person out, you know? Don't do it mean, you know, be polite and be like, hey, you know, this isn't working for me. Saying no. That is one of the big changes to deal with. So anyway, I've kind of went through the 5 things that I think folks really need to work on to be able to survive, you know, hot mess syndrome and get over it. So schedule number 1. Number 2, relationships, especially the one you have with yourself. Work choices, finding something that aligns with your purpose or just feeds your soul. Organizing, absolutely key. Creating systems. And then learning from your mistakes and adjusting accordingly. Now, I gave you a few types of things that I've worked with, but, you know, we all have individual types of mistakes. And maybe they're not necessarily mistakes. They're just things that don't work well for us. Work on those things. You absolutely can manage your stress. You can live the life you want. You can eat balanced foods. You can work on helping with hormones. You can, I mean, realistically, there's ways to balance all of this. You can pre-treat yourself prior to full moons if you suspect that you cycle with craziness around the full moon. I mean, for ladies in particular, if you have pretty bad PMS and you get your period with the full moon, increasing vitamin D and magnesium-rich foods mid-cycle is huge. I have people do that from mid-cycle to the start of the period. Same thing with connection with nature. I think a lot of us, part of the reason the moon might cause us to be a little crazy is the body's like, hey, you haven't paid attention to me and put me in nature for a while. It's kind of this one of these calls back to nature. Maybe we turn into vampires and werewolves because the body's trying to call us back to nature. I don't know. Before I get too woo on you, I really do think that being out in nature, whether it's a little hike or whether it's even going out in your front yard, taking your shoes off and walking around in the grass, they call it earthing. That kind of stuff can be huge to help you to be grounded again. And even going and playing on playgrounds. Sounds dumb, but it's one of my favorite pastimes with my husband and dog to connect as being a kid, but also be outside. Heck, do it during the full moon if you want to help work out that crazy. But I think the big component here is looking at ourselves and looking at how we really are impacted by the lives that we lead and how we respond to certain people in terms of relationships and relationships with ourselves. And I will have a comprehensive way to improve your hot mess situation in my notes at the end of my podcast post on the website at drjkrausnd.com. I highly recommend you go check it out. It will be huge for you to just tap into that to get you started. Another biggie, as I always talk about, is eating balanced food. I'll mention that. And for hormone support, seed cycling. It's a great way to use whole foods resources to help to balance your hormones. And especially thinking about herbs to help with balance your stress hormones, especially holy basil, ashwagandha, rhodiola romania. These are great herbs that can be extremely useful to chilling out your nervous system. So I have talked a little bit about hot mess syndrome and ways that you can manage it. I hope that you learned a thing or two, or at least instead of learning something, it's just got you thinking about ways to help you to work on balancing you out so that your brain doesn't become broken and you can survive this crazy thing we call life. Alrighty, you've survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing. Thanks for tuning into The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausnd.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the join group button on our website at drjkrausnd.com.